Now, more of The Rush with Jay and Jim on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Yes!
Favorite time of the week, and one of the reasons is the mellifluous tones of Richard Krauss means Friday, so that puts a smile on everybody's face as it's time for Booze and Reviews. Happy Friday, Richard.
Thanks, Jim. Happy Friday to you guys, too.
Got to get to the booze portion. I have to tell you, admittedly, that gin I've always thought was a very classy, very tasty imbibe. And you are going to tell us why it's the bee's knees today.
I am. Okay, so I'll tell you about a drink called the bee's knees, but I'll set it up by telling you just a little bit about Prohibition. Because Prohibition was, in the United States, it was a law that banned production, importation, transportation, and sale of alcoholic beverages from 1920 to 1933. And so very tough to get a drink. So, of course, what do people do? They start making their own drinks and their own gin and rum and all that kind of thing. And the government fought back with some misinformation about that. And they said things that alcohol turns your blood into water. They announced that wine was sometimes made from cockroaches. Your brain would catch fire by drinking. They were trying anything they could to get people to stop drinking. And yet people wouldn't stop drinking. And a lot of great cocktails came out of that era from speakeasies that were selling illegal booze, namely bathtub gin, which is essentially just moonshine. And it was often made in unsanitary conditions and wasn't really great for you. But a lot of bartenders used it, including the bartender and the drink that I'm going to tell you about. So the drink is called the Bee's Knees, and it's pretty simple stuff. You take 2 ounces of gin, you throw in 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, and then another 3/4 of an ounce of honey simple syrup. And all you do is you take 2 ounces of honey, 1 ounce of warm water, and you mix it up until it becomes a syrup, and you use some of that in the drink. You shake it. It's delicious. It's a smooth drink. And it was made with the honey and the lime back in Prohibition when it was invented by a guy called Frank Mayer to hide the taste and the smell of this bathtub gin, this moonshine that they would have been using back then. So that's pretty cool. All that stuff is pretty cool. But what's even cooler is the story of this guy, Frank Mayer. He was a bartender at the Hotel Ritz-Carlton in Paris at the Hemingway Bar. And I can tell you, I've been to the Hemingway Bar in Paris. The most money I have ever spent for one cocktail in my life was at that bar. But it came with a fully bloomed rose floating in the drink for my wife. And she loved it and it was worth it. But during the Second World War, Frank Mayer was working there. He had already created the Bee's Knees, which, by the way, was slang in the 1920s and 30s for you're the best, as in Jim and Jay, you're the Bee's Knees.
Yes.
So, yes. And so during the Second World War, though, he was half Jewish. He managed to maintain his job at the Ritz-Carlton, even though the Germans had taken it over for a time and were using it as a headquarters. He still worked behind the bar. And he managed to help smuggle out a number of their Jewish customers and clientele, and was passing along messages and information that he would overhear in the bar when the Germans would come in and drink, have a little bit too much to drink, and start spilling secrets. He'd write it all down and give it to the French resistance. And he was essentially the bartender spy that gave us the drink, the Bee's Knees.
Are you sure that wasn't a movie pitch?
You know what? It would be an amazing movie, and also, I would volunteer to play that guy.
A couple of follow up questions. You said the most you ever paid for a bar for a drink. How much did you pay for that?
In Canadian dollars, it was probably about $95 for one cocktail. But, you know, hey, it was our wedding anniversary and, you know, and it came, as I say, with a rose growing out of the drink. It was really spectacular.
Was it like a big drink?
Well, yeah. yes, it was. It wasn't a $95, get a bottle of gin, but you got a fair amount of gin.
It was generous. Yeah.
It's like nothing on March break in Daytona Beach with like 9 straws or something like that.
So,
and what? in one of those twirly cups like they have in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
There's a fun game that we play with Richard Krause when it comes to movies, Jim. How does that game go?
Oh, you mean does Richard Krause love these movies? Basically, Richard is going to tell us about some of the releases this weekend that we can stream or wait for them to come online, I guess. And we try to guess how much of a rating Richard gives them. So, Richard, what's the first one?
Okay, all these movies are available to watch at home this weekend because all the theaters are closed. So the first one, In Hotel Transylvania 4, Transformania, it's the new animated movie starring the voice of Selena Gomez and now streaming on Amazon Prime. A monsterfication raid turns Dracula into a human and his human son-in-law into a monster.
I ruined everything.
Johnny, what are you talking about?
Your dad never really thought of me as part of the family.
All because I'm not a monster.
So, you want to become a monster, huh?
Van Helsing?
The monsterfication ray turns humans into monsters and monsters into humans.
But is it safe, though?
Great question.
A lot of people didn't know this was written by a World War II spy. I don't know. When you get to, I was going to say the fourth animated movie can't be very good, but I think we've proven that wrong with some of the other ones. So I'm going to say 3 stars.
The problem with these movies is I see Hotel Transylvania 4 and I'm like, man, they made another one of these. And then I'll watch and I'll be like, that was funny.
Yeah.
Happens every single time. The writing, I'm sure, is pretty crack at this point. They've got the formula down. Andy Samberg's in that as well. Lots of good voice talents. You want 3.5? I will go 4.
Okay, I gave it 3. You're both close, but Jay, you're not wrong. These movies are fun, and I always forget about them. I saw the first one 10 years ago in the theater. I went in with low expectations. I came out going, that was pretty good. Same thing for the second one. Didn't remember a thing about the first one. Loved the second one. Loved the third one. And now this fourth one is on Amazon Prime, and there are nice life lessons wedged in between a monster's mash of laughs and action, some of which parents may find headache-inducing, but like Dracula, kids should be able to sink their teeth into Hotel Transylvania 4, Transformania, and it's on Amazon Prime right now.
Love it. What is the second movie, Richard?
In See For Me, now on VOD, a blind former skier is cat-sitting in a secluded mansion when 3 thieves invade for the hidden safe. Her best line of defense is a smartphone app called See For Me that connects her with a remote set of eyes.
Hey, how can I help you?
It's me, Sophie. There's people in the house. They're looking for me.
Just stay calm. Where are they now?
We need to get you to the basement and wait for the cops.
Is there anything in my way?
Wait, Sophie, wait!
She dialed 911 12 minutes ago.
You said the place was gonna be empty.
I can get rid of the cops.
And why would you do that?
The voice I'm hearing in my head already is my wife going, nope, 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 nope. Anxiety, anxiety. I could just feel it sitting on the couch beside her if we were to watch that movie. I might have to check it out by myself. I think it sounds pretty cool. It sounds rather intriguing. I know these types of movies have been done before, but this one sounds pretty cool. I will go 3 stars, Richard.
I'm going to go 3.5.
Bingo, Jimmy. It's 3.5 stars for See For Me. It's an effective thriller that builds tension as the psychological drama ramps up. We've seen a lot of this sort of thing before. The sensory loss, the first-person shooter shtick, and the home invasion angle. But director Randall Okita, who is Canadian, brings them together in a persuasive package.
Do we want to hold on and do the third movie after the news? Or because we're right up against the news here, so... is that something we can do?
Depends on
That's
Richard's
something
schedule.
I can do.
All right, just hold on, Richard. We'll come back to you in a couple of minutes because I think this movie looks really interesting as well, and I love the premise of it. So good call, Jim.
Thank you.
We're going to go to the kitchen, make ourselves a couple of bee's knees. Richard is going to hang out. It is Friday, the 14th of January. Welcome back to The Rush. Jay Michaels, Jim Richards, our pal Richard Krause, hanging out through the news. We appreciate it, Richard.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, it was such a success last time. We rarely go along with any guest, but Richard for booze and reviews.
You know that I listened to the show, Jim.
Did you hear what I said before the segment?
That you never go along with anyone.
Well, we rarely do. I mean, we'll take phone calls after a guest, but rarely two segments with a guest. I thought you were talking about something else that said about you.
Which Jim thinks that the theme music that we're supposed to get to traffic quickly is his cue to talk for 2 minutes more.
That's pretty much that's accurate. Why does everybody find that funny? Is that true? Really?
Yes.
All right. The truth hurts sometimes, folks. All right. Richard was joining us about 15 minutes ago for Booze and Reviews, and we loved him so much we didn't get to the third movie. So what is the third movie, Richard?
In Mother Android, the new Chloe Grace Moretz post-apocalyptic thriller, now streaming on Netflix, a couple flee the United States as the world battles against a robot uprising.
I'm fighting a war against an enemy that literally never sleeps.
Killing machines. They won't stop until we're all dead.
We gotta get through no man's land without being noticed. No checkpoints. No humans. A lot of androids. We'd have to be quiet.
Silent. We'd have to be silent.
This is not done by Jerry Bruckheimer?
Nope.
Nope. If it's done well, it sounds like it could be mindless fun. So I'm going to cross my fingers, hope for mindless, stupid blockbuster action movie, okay, and say 3.5 stars.
Question and a comment. Comment is, I believe, and if you didn't say it in the setup, but she finds out she's pregnant, like just literally before the world ends, right?
So that's right.
This is her trying to survive and for her to have her baby along with her boyfriend, who loves her very much. Also, why do you think it is, Richard, that the movie going public, myself included, we never tire of post-apocalyptic type movies?
Well, because we're living through it right now.
There you go.
I think in some ways.
Might have something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. So what's your star rating for this? For
my star
Android
one thing? For this mm-hmm. is 3.
Okay, so Jim was kind of half right when he said that it was stupid and mindless. But this movie is stupid and mindless, but not in a good way. Mother Android feels like the love child of Children of Men, The Terminator, and A Quiet Place, and as such, commits what I think is the biggest sin of science fiction and speculative fiction. It's short on originality and long on derivative ideas, so I could only give it 2 out of 5 stars.
Wow. Not a fan.
I wanted more. I wanted more from this. And while I was watching it, I also wanted less of it as well.
So. Wow. Listen, Richard, have a great weekend. Thank you very much for your time on Booze and Reviews.
You guys are the bee's knees. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Richard. Thank Richard Krause, host of CTV's Pop Life, News Talk 1010 contributor. All of his socials have all of his stuff, including his amazing pod. Our conversation will be posted a little bit later on in the show.